So today we continue our series called More Than Just a Happy Holiday. More than just a happy holiday. We've taken that word holiday, and if you notice, people are even spelling it differently now in a lot of cases. I saw it on Teen Nick the other day when my kids were watching Teen Nick. They spelled it some weird way because it looks too much like holy day. And that's where it came from, you know. Holy day. That's really what it is. A holiday is a holy day. And so, but even here at Oak River, we like to think Christmas is more than even just a holiday or a happy holiday. It is Christmas. And there's a whole lot in our faith that centers around this time of year. My mom was telling me that her pastor was so grieved because he went to this pastor's conference and he heard all these pastors talking about dreading Christmas coming up. And they are just tired of it. And they're tired of trying to creatively teach the story of the baby Jesus. And he was so saddened by it. He's like, this is my favorite holiday as a pastor. I love it. I want to teach it the whole month of December on Christmas. And they were like, we're just doing Christmas Eve and that's it, you know. And he was so sad. And I'm like, no. Christmas is such a key part of our faith. It's so key. And this week, we're talking about Son of Man. Why is it more than just a happy holiday? Because Jesus was a Son of Man. 2 weeks ago, we talked about Son of God and how Jesus fulfilled 332 promises of the Old Testament. And I love that God made himself so obvious in the Christmas story. I mean, you have angels showing up. You have new stars being born. You have some wild stuff happening, right? But I don't ever want to forget that Jesus was also a Son of Man. If you want to follow along in your notes, that's the first blank. Jesus was the Son of Man also. He was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. Don't forget that, yes, there were a host of angels who showed up and said, glory be to God in the highest. But also don't forget that Jesus was born in a barn and placed in a feeding trough. How much more human can you get? He was born in a barn and placed in a feeding trough. We find that in Luke 2, 6 through 7, which most of you who have ever read the Christmas story or heard it read are familiar with. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. I think what we tend to do as people is we take the Christmas story and we put it in Norman Rockwell prints in our mind. And for whatever reason, we hear away in a manger and we're like, oh, how sweet. And we forget the human aspect of it. Mary gave birth to the Messiah in a barn and placed him in a feeding trough. The word manger in Greek literally means feeding trough. So it should go like this, right? Away in a pig trough, no crib for a bed. What? No, we want to paint it in the supernatural light because it's all so pretty in the supernatural light. We forget he is the Son of Man, too. What else happened that made it obvious he's the Son of Man? Because the news was spread by shepherds. Shepherds were basically the lowest people on the social status scale at that time. If you would take maybe a gypsy and a dairy farmer and combine them, that's about what you would get as a shepherd. Yeah, some of you have been around dairy farmers and you know what I mean by that. You smell them before you see them because they bring their trade with them wherever they go, pretty much, right? The news was spread by shepherds. Yes, the angels appeared to them. Do you ever wonder why? Because I think God wanted to make himself very clear. Yes, this is a supernatural thing. This is an act of God, but it's for humanity. And my son is a son of man. We find that in Luke 2:16 through 20. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger in the pig trough. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angels had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. I love that verse right there. I love that verse. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. So we sing, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with great joy. Should be, and when the stinky shepherd saw the star, they rejoiced. It was a human thing. They were stinky shepherds. Why did God entrust such news to them? Because Jesus was the Son of Man. Also, in this story, you have a young family on the run. We see that in Matthew 2:13-15. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, flee to Egypt with a child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. Now here's the question that I have. If God could send an angel to appear to Joseph and say, get up and run for your life, why couldn't he just put them in a protective invisible force shield, force shield or whatever? Why couldn't he do that? I mean, I know he could have. Why didn't he? Because he was a son of man. Silent night, run for your life. That doesn't fit, does it? It doesn't fit. Something's wrong with that picture. And yet we like to only think of the, oh, glory to God, glory to God, you know? And the star, I mean, a new star, really? Could you get any more fantastic than that? And yet he appeared to shepherds and he was placed in a feeding trough and he had to run for his life. He is Son of God. He is Emmanuel, as Dave talked about last week. God with us. God near to us. Son of man. It's interesting that phrase, Son of Man, is used 85 times in the New Testament. 80 of those times is Jesus identifying himself when talking to people. Now, if you're a mom, you're going to understand what I'm about to say immediately. When I introduce myself to one of my son's friends, I say, hi, I'm Miss Phillips, Ethan's mom. Right? I'm Max's mom. I'm Rem's mom. Because that's how they can relate to me. Here's the commonality we have. Right? I think when Jesus continually identified himself as the Son of Man, he was saying, hey, I'm one of you. Here's where we can relate. Here's the commonality that we have, the Son of Man. Jesus referred to himself 80 times. 80 times. That is crazy. Crazy number. I mean, you think of the words that we have recorded of Jesus is not that many. And 80 times he referred himself as the Son of Man. Every time he referred himself as the Son of Man basically can be fit into six different categories. And I'm going to fly through them. But what I want you to get here is that Jesus was saying, I am the Son of Man. I am just like you. But don't forget this part too. Okay? I am a Son of Man. Number one, the Son of Man came from heaven. John 3:12-13 says, but if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. Several times, I only gave you one example there for time's sake, but several times Jesus referred to the fact that yes, he is the Son of Man, but that he came from heaven. Now, have you ever gone to a new place? I got the great honor and privilege to go to Hawaii about 6 years ago. So much fun. I'd never been there before. But it was really cool because before I went, someone who had already gone 30 or 40 times, a friend of mine, gave me this travel guide, this personalized handmade travel guide, and said, here's what you want to see. Here's what you don't want to bother with. This is expensive but worth it. This is expensive and not worth it. That kind of a thing. Made my 10 days there much more fruitful and much more enjoyable. I think Jesus, in saying, I'm the Son of Man, but I came from heaven, he was like, I have a little bit of information that might help you. It'll make your stay here on earth a little bit better, a lot better. Number two, the Son of Man is here on earth with power and authority. He's here with power and authority. We find that in Mark 2:10-11. So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. This is Jesus talking. Every time, every verse today is Jesus talking. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Jesus was saying, because some people were like, how does he have the authority to say your sins are forgiven to this paralyzed man? He goes, okay, if you need proof, the Son of Man is going to give you proof that I have power and authority to forgive sins. Take up your mat and walk. That's your proof. And the guy got up and, yeah, I can walk. I can't believe it, right? We find it also in Mark 2:27-28, where again, some know-it-alls questioned him and said, why is it that your disciples picked grain on the Sabbath? Isn't it against the law to work on the Sabbath? Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm walking through a field of grain and I take off a piece of grain and I rub off the part that you're not going to eat and I eat it, that's not work. They were really nitpicking. And Jesus said, okay, if you want to nitpick, here's what I have to say about that. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. He goes, look, I'm a Son of Man, but I understand things because I came from heaven and I see things differently than you do. And you're nitpicking stupid stuff. That's not the intention of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a gift for people. It's not to impose things on people that make it difficult to live. It's a gift. Point number three, the Son of Man has an ongoing relationship with God. Thank you, Lord, for this. Jesus showed me that even though I'm a son of or a daughter of man, I can have an ongoing relationship with God. It is a day by day thing. It's not just to come to church at Christmas or Easter and somehow do your dues. It's not that. It's not that. It is an ongoing relationship. John 8:26-29 says it this way. Jesus again talking. I have much to say about you and much to condemn, but I won't. For I say only what I have heard from the one who sent me, and he is completely truthful. But they still didn't understand that he was talking about his Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, then you will understand that I am he. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what pleases him. Wow. I am so glad that Jesus made it clear to us, yes, I'm a Son of Man, but I am still in constant communication with my Father. I have this ongoing relationship with him. And I'm the son of God, but I don't say anything unless he tells me to say it. Wow. Point number four. The Son of Man will suffer as a human for humans. The Son of Man will suffer as a human for humans. We find this in Mark 8:31. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later he would rise from the dead. And we find it again in Matthew 20, 27 through 28. Jesus speaking, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. I've often wondered why Jesus talked about himself in third person, like George on Seinfeld, you know? George's not happy. George doesn't like this. Why did Jesus refer to himself as the Son of Man? I don't know. That's going to be one of my questions when I get to heaven, if I can speak. You know, if I'm not so blown over by the glory of the place and the glory of God, then I'm going to ask that question because I'm curious about that. But he did. And he said, the Son of Man, I am a human, but I did not come to be served. I came to serve and give my life as a ransom for many. That's what he said. Point number five. The Son of Man will return in the future to gather and judge. We find this in Mark 13, 26 through 27, one of the places we find it. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send out his angels to gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Oh, the great gathering. There's a lot of theological debate over it. I'd rather not argue about it. I'd just rather look forward to it. If he's coming to get me, I'm excited about it. That's all. Matthew 16, 27 says it this way, for the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds. Also, another very controversial subject found in multiple places in Scripture. I'd rather not haggle over it. I'm just not a haggler. I don't enjoy confrontation. I don't enjoy arguments. It's just not my thing. If you do, dig it out and figure it out and enjoy it. Go for it. Don't bring me into it. I just accept the simplicity of the word. And if Jesus is ever going to judge me according to my deeds, I want to do the best I can by him. I just want to do the best I can. I'm not saying I'm going to never make a mistake, because I will. I've made plenty in the past and I will in the future. I'm not saying I'm never going to let you down, because I probably will. Not intentionally, but probably will. But if Jesus, the Son of Man, that's what I like. He identified himself as the Son of Man coming back to judge. What that tells me is I know what it was like. I know how hard it is. I know how limited your vision is here on earth. I know how engrossed, Ron and I were talking about this morning, how engrossed you get into the now and forget about the later. I'm a Son of Man and I'm coming back and it's all right. Gives me great peace. Point number six, the Son of Man makes eternal life possible for humans. Wow, the Son of Man makes eternal life possible for humans. So when you die, you're not dead. The Son of Man makes that possible. John 6, 27 and 32 through 35 says this, but don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. At Christmas, we use the scripture of all times. I've spent some hours on food this week. Fun times, but spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you. For God the Father has given me the seal of his approval. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, you're looking at him. He said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. So when I read that, I find it symbolic that he was placed in a feeding trough. I don't find it dirty and, though I'm sure it was, I find it very symbolic. He was placed in a feeding trough. And he says, I'm the bread of life. You see, I'm convinced. We take this whole time period, the whole from Thanksgiving till New Year's. We take it and we want to paint it in these soft, pretty colors. These soft and pretty and easy pictures. And I don't think it's supposed to be like that. I went to my neighbors this week on Thursday. I've lived there in that house for 2 years. Went down to this neighbor's, really sweet lady. She loves Ethan and Max. She hasn't really spent much time with Rem. I'm sure she would love him too, but she spent a little time with Ethan and Max and just loves them. And so I went down to take her some Buckeyes on Thursday night that I had made. Yum, they are so good. Homemade Buckeyes, you know, you got to love them. So I went to take her some, and she said, come in, and her house is beautifully decorated for Christmas. She loves Christmas. She's decorated it all over, and we're just standing there chatting for just a few minutes. In that few minutes, I found out that 19 years ago, her 2.5-year-old son drowned. And that's what I did. I was like, oh, Kelly, I've suffered some myself, but I have never suffered to that degree, and I cannot imagine. And she said, so we, after a while of grieving, we decided that we wanted to have another baby, and we couldn't. I couldn't conceive another child, so we adopted a little boy. At 4 days old, we adopted this little boy, child of her heart. She poured her heart into him. All that pain, she gave up and she poured into this child. And 1 month before we moved in that house, he was killed in a car accident at the age of 16. You see, don't talk to her. Don't talk to her about Norman Rockwell. She's gone through a divorce, and yet she is the sweetest, sweetest lady you would ever want to meet. Sweetest, kindest. And you know what we do? We take the Son of Man out of Christmas because we don't want to confront that kind of pain. I didn't even know what to say to her. I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to know what to say. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, what do you say? You know what you say? Jesus was a man who felt the kind of pain that we feel. And most of us in this room, we either have a pretty blessed, happy Norman Rockwell life with some little glitches here and there, or we have this broken, beat up pig trough life, you know? And we don't think that that meshes with this, and it does. Jesus came to offer us this big, fat bowl of hope. And he says, come and get it. I'm a man. I understand the pain that you feel. I get betrayal. I get rejection. I get loss because I've lived here. I understand it. But I'm the bread of life, and anyone who wants to come to me, I can give you bread that you will never get hungry again. I can give you water, living water, that you will never thirst again. I just want to invite you this week to find someone who is suffering. Find someone who doesn't have a Norman Rockwell life and pour a little bit of hope on them this Christmas. Let's get out of our own safety zone just a little bit and find someone that we can pour some hope into, because Jesus was the Son of Man too. He was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man. We're going to have communion at this time, and I can't imagine a more perfect moment to have it. And if you are not a believer, all it takes to become a believer is you say in your heart, Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God and that you were the Son of Man, and I invite you into my heart. I give you control. And you are a believer when that happens. That's it. At Oak River, we practice open communion. So if you are a believer, we invite you to participate in communion. There's no pressure. If you don't want to, then just pass it when it comes to you. There's no pressure. But if you want to participate, participate with us. But hold the elements, if you would, until everyone is served, and then we'll come up and partake together.
Sadness ever joy.
I want to use the scripture that we just used rather than the standard communion scripture, where it says, I, Jesus talking, says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We celebrate it. We thank you that he was your Son, but we thank you that he's the Son of Man too. And so we take Jesus' words right now and says, whoever comes to me can have the bread of life. And we come to Jesus. We all need the bread of life. We need it every day. So I pray that you would bless this bread that we take today that's symbolic of Jesus' body. And let it have its work in us, I pray. Take the bread. Jesus also said, I am the living water. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again. God, I thank you that this juice represents the blood of your Son, but I believe it represents living water. That if we come, and we come through your Son and to your Son, he gives us living water, offers us eternal life in exchange for this one, in addition to this one. So I pray that you would bless this juice as a symbol of the sacrifice of your Son, the Son of God and the Son of Man. And let it be living water as it goes into us today, I pray. Take the juice. Amen. Make us a channel of his peace. Make us a channel of his hope.